Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church. It's great to have you here today. I'm glad to see the sunshine coming out and the rain abating. It's nice to see you all. I haven't been here for a couple of weeks, so it's really great to see everyone here today. Only one announcement today is a reminder that next Sunday is the annual church picnic, and we hope that you can make it to the picnic. There'll be hot dogs and hamburgers if you can bring a salad or dessert, but there's always enough food if you don't bring something, so please bring yourself and your hungry appetite. So we look forward to seeing you then. With that, I'll turn it over to Tom Clifton.
Shalom Akalem. You're learning. Good. It's good to be here this morning. I love rainy Sunday mornings because it chases all of the golfers off the golf course. Some of them will come home and decide to go to church. So I don't know why, God, why don't you do that more often? I mean, so here we are. Maybe some of us aren't here today because of the rain, but glad that you are, and it's good to be here. Thanks to our organist for that lovely toe-tapping prelude. That is really beautiful. It lifts the spirit, doesn't it? I know sometimes when I go to church, the prelude sort of puts me to sleep or whatever, but that woke me up and I wanted to tap my toes, and so thank you for that. It's good to see Cliff back. It was like a bad cold, he said. And if you've had it, maybe you've had that experience as well. But he still kept working, and now he's back with us. And it's great to have him here. Look forward to the picnic next week. My wife, Audrey, wearing the mask, said she might even come with me. So put us down and remind me what we're supposed to bring, and we'll look forward to that. The rain came this Sunday, not next Sunday. Are we going to be outside?
Hopefully
be outside for that.
There is an option to be indoors if necessary.
Yes, okay. If the weather allows it, then we will. So may we gather our minds and hearts, our thinking and our feeling and our yearning to be God's people. May we gather all of that together as we worship now at this special moment in our lives. Let us call one another to worship. Blessed are the peacemakers. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us,
that we should be called the children of God, and such we are.
Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who only does wondrous things.
And blessed be the name of his majesty forever, let all the earth be filled with his glory.
Amen and amen. We rise if able, and we all join voices together to sing our opening song.
Thank you.
Now may we join our hearts as we confess together before God and one another. Lord God, we have forgotten that you have given us the supreme mandate to care for one another, even as you have cared for us. We have turned our backs on those in need. We have revealed selfishness and our inability to be your disciples. Stop us from our selfish ways and heal our hardened hearts. Forgive us when we have neglected to be your witnesses. Renew us to become involved in ministries of peace and justice right where we are. For there is nowhere in creation where your love is not needed. Let us be living messages of peace and hope to all people. Bring us to an understanding of the partnership of healing and renewal that abides in your service. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Though we have failed time and time again to be God's people, yet God heals and forgives. God is with us always, ready to lift and guide our lives. Place your life and your cares in God's loving presence. Amen. Now we are bold to confess the Church's faith, saying, I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and Jesus Christ, his Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The day he rose again from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of God the Father, from which he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Greet one another with your sign. And so we'll sing the first four verses of hymn 172.
Thank you.
have a number of prayer requests this morning. Sandy Litterbill?
Literally.
Sandy Litterly has a mass on her lung. Testing and scans this week and surgery in a few weeks. And so let's keep her in our prayers each day and today. From BJ, for Butch Siebert, brother, was found to have a blood clot in his heart. And so with prayers and medicines, he will make great progress. May that be true for Butch. And we pray today for Sammy and Tammy. For Sammy, possible stroke or bug bite, not sure which, so there will be tests. And for George's daughter, Tammy, kidney stones. So today and for many days, may we remember these two. And from A.J. Miller, pray for Tweety, daughter, who has a kidney stone and needs multiple procedures. I'm sure that each of you knows, most of you know all of these names and special people in the life of this church and in your life as well. Let us join together as we pray. Oh God, we are yours by creation and by redemption. We belong to you. And therefore we lift our prayers of praise and thanksgiving as we bring our lives once more together to hear your word and to find strength and renewal and to offer comfort and care for those that we love here and beyond. Especially today, we pray for those who are sick, giving thanks for those who have recovered, but continuing our prayers now for those who continue to struggle with conditions of health and life. And so we pray for Butch and Sandy, and we pray for Tammy and Sammy and Tweety. These we have listed by name. And others we bring who are on our hearts. People that we love, our neighbors, relatives, friends. We pray your healing spirit might be strong and effective and comforting in every possible way upon their lives. We pray for our world in deep need of peace, a world that has been ravaged by fires and floods, a world that struggles for food among those who are in war-torn areas or places of drought or natural disaster, for the millions that have no place to live, who for whatever reason of persecution or war or famine roam the earth without shelter, not knowing what tomorrow will bring, not knowing what they will eat this day. Gather your people, gather us in compassion and care, because these are ones that you have given us to serve. May all of our lives be outpouring and ready and eager to share in ministries of love and care to those who have nothing. We pray for this church and its outreach and ministry, its worship, its teaching. Bless this church, we pray. Make it strong in spirit, strong in voice and witness. May all that it does bring honor and glory to your name and blessing to this world and this community. We bring your prayers in Jesus' name, the one who taught us in prayer to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Once again, we join our voices and hearts, standing if able, hymn number 824. Seated. May we worship God in spirit and in truth as we bring our gifts. beginning our lives with you and one another and proclaiming Jesus Christ for the world. In his name, we bring these blessings now and always. Amen.
As our scripture reader comes, do we have a scripture reader? Oh, we do have. Okay. As our scripture reader comes, let me just set the scene for a bit. The first reading is from the Old Testament, the book of 2 Kings. And there are some characters in the story. There is Elisha. Elisha is a prophet. He has a servant. They will have speaking parts. There are two kings. One is the king of Aram, which is in Syria. This king is at war with Israel. And the other king is the king of Israel. The king who's at war with Israel has a problem. He has a big problem. He's got a bigger problem than he knows. So listen to the story. It's a story of the greatest battle never fought. This is from 2 Kings 6.
Now the king of Aram was at war with Israel. After conferring with his officers, he said, "I will set up my camp in such and such a place." The man of God sent word to the king of Israel, "Beware of the passing that place, because the Aramaeans are going down there." So the king of Israel checked on the place indicated by the man of God. Time and again, Elijah warned the king so that he was on his guard in such places. This enraged the king of Aram. He summoned his officers and demanded of them, "Tell me, which of us is on the side of the king of Israel?" "None of us, my lord the king," said one of his officers. "But Elijah, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel that very word you speak in your bedroom." "Go find out where he is," the king ordered, "so I can send men and capture him." The report came back, "He is in Dothan." Then he sent horses and chariots and a strong force there. They went by night and surrounded the city. When the servant of man got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. "Oh no, my lord, what shall we do?" the servants asked. "Don't be afraid," the prophet answered. "Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elijah prayed, opened his eyes to the Lord so he may see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. As the enemy came down toward him, Elijah prayed to the Lord, "Strike this army with blindness." So he struck them with blindness, as Elijah had asked. Elijah told them, "This is not the road, and this is not the city. Follow me, and I will lead you to the man you are looking for." And he led them to Samaria. After they entered the city, Elijah said, "Lord, open your eyes of these men so they can see." Then the Lord opened their eyes, and they looked, and there they were inside Samaria. When the king of Israel saw them, he asked Elijah, "Shall I kill them, my father? Shall I kill them?" "Do not kill them," he answered. "Would you kill those you have captured with your own sword or bow? Set food and water before them so that they may eat and drink and then go back to their master." So he prepared a great feast for them. And after they had finished eating and drinking, he sent them away, and they returned to their master. So the bands from Aram stopped raiding Israel's territory. Bless the reading of the word.
And now from the New Testament Gospel of Matthew, we have been making a journey through the Beatitudes, which introduced the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 5 begins with these
several Beatitudes. Depending on how you count, you get different numbers. Last Sunday was the first of two-part sermon. Last Sunday was on the same text that I'll read today, where we discovered that making peace starts with our speech. We are peacemakers, first of all, by what we say. You remember Jesus appears to his disciples behind closed doors, and three times in the Gospel of John, in that 12th chapter, three times Jesus, his first words on the first Easter and the second Sunday of Easter, peace, shalom, kalem. And as you remember from last week, we can't say anything better than that. It's wishing all of God's blessings. Everything that God can give is offered when we say the word shalom, peace. That was last Sunday. And now this second part of the same text, it begins with our speech, but it continues. Now when he, Jesus, saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he, Jesus, began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God." Let us pray. Oh God, thank you for forming us, creating us, fashioning us to be your living, breathing messages of peace and reconciliation and joy for the world. May what is heard and spoken and celebrated in this place now bring honor and glory to your name. Amen. Well, it was a long reading, that reading from 2 Kings 6. It's a story about a prophet by the name of Elisha. It so happens that Israel and Aram, which is in Syria, were at war with each other. And the king of Aram had a problem. Every time he would send his soldiers to a certain place to lay in ambush for the army of Israel, every time the army of Israel would be alerted and would not go into the ambush. And the king of Aram was frustrated beyond words. And he called together his officers and his leaders, and he said, "Who's the spy? Who's telling the army of Israel what we're doing? Who's giving out the message? Who's betraying us?" One of the officers said, "Sir, there is no spy among us. There's a prophet. And his name is Elisha." And now the king of Aram knows he's got a problem bigger than he thought. He's got a prophet of God. He's got someone who listens to every word that God says. He's got a big problem. And so the officers say, "He knows what you're saying even in your own bedchamber." Wow, now that's really something. He knows everything you're about.
He knows what we're doing every time we go out. And the king of Aram decides he's gonna do in with Elisha. He's gonna solve this problem right now. But see, he doesn't really realize that he's a prophet of God. How many soldiers will it take to take care of the prophet of God, you see? But he decides he's going to amass his best striking force, his best officers, his best men. And they're going to get in chariots, and they're going to take their spears and their swords, and in a large mass, they're going to find out where this prophet is, and they're going to put an end to him. And someone finds out that, oh, Elisha, he's living in Dothan. And so at night, the army of Aram makes its way in darkness to the village of Dothan, and they surround the town, completely surrounded. And then the next morning when the sun comes up, Elisha's servant rises and walks outside, and he looks, and all around is the army of Aram, chariots and infantry, swords and shields and spears. And he runs back into the house and he tells the prophet Elisha, "We're doomed. We're doomed. There's no hope for us." And Elisha receives those words with utter calmness, no fear. "Why are you afraid? Why are you afraid? Don't you know there are more of us than of them?" Well, I'm sure that the servant of Elisha must have started doing some counting. More of us than there are of them, where there's one, two. There's two of us, and there are hundreds of them surrounding the city. And Elisha prays. Simple prayer. "O Lord, open his eyes so that he can see. That this is the task of preaching. This is the task, the purpose of Scripture. This is what we do for one another. This is why we have church, so that we can live before each other and with each other in ways that we can help each other see and envision and imagine a world that is different, far different from the one that we have. That this world, with all of its corruption and lies and violence and anger and wars and suffering, starvation and disease, that this world is not all that there is. We live in faith together for one another so that we can help each other envision there is more than what we can see. There is this unfathomable grace of God. There's this sovereignty of God. There's this God who's working in the world, who's working in our lives, who's working in every institution, and who is at work to bring a new world into being." And so he prays for his servant. The prayer that we pray for one another. May our eyes be open. May we begin to see grace and sovereignty and goodness of God at work, alive, present in power and healing and in grace for this world of ours. And then the servant of Elisha, his eyes were opened, and he looked, and he saw that surrounding them were chariots of fire. God's sovereignty and grace and goodness in the forms of these chariots of fire. And he knew that God's purposes and design and will for this world cannot and will not ever be defeated. God is making all things new, and nothing can stop that. Not all the armies of the world, not all of the evil of the world, not all of the badness of the world can stop what God has begun and what God is doing and will do for this world. And so the army starts down to the house where Elisha and his servants are staying. And Elisha prays again. Notice that he doesn't pray that God will strike the army dead. That's maybe what we thought, well, that's what you ought to pray, that God would just send down from heaven some lightning bolt or some kind of earthquake or some way that the army could be just defeated. What he prayed was that they would be struck blind. And so all of a sudden, the advancing army is unable to see. And Elisha goes forth faithfully and confidently and speaks to them. And he says, well, it's not really true, but you know, you don't always tell the truth, right? I mean, sometimes you twist it just a little bit. He says, you got the wrong house. This is the wrong address, and you're on the wrong road. Just hold on to each other and follow me, and I'll take you where you need to be. And so they probably put their hands on each other's shoulders, and they followed Elisha and the servant, and he took them right into the middle of the capital city of the king of Israel. And then he prayed that they would be able to see again, and when they opened their eyes, they were the captured ones. They were captured and encased in the capital city. They were hopelessly lost. And the king of Israel comes out with a bad idea. He says to Elisha, shall I kill them? He asked the question twice. Shall I just kill them? And Elisha the prophet said, kill them. You wouldn't even kill prisoners of war you take on the battlefield. Kill them. And then he used his imagination, which we need God to give us. This is what we need. This is what the world needs. Some imagination to be able to do a strange and new thing. Elisha says to the king, feed them. And the king of Israel not only responded positively to that, it says in the text
He didn't give him just water and bread, as Elisha had suggested. He prepared a feast. He brought forth the best that he could offer. They cooked up a storm. The best cooks got together in the kitchens. And they cooked up the biggest, best feast with wine and food and bread and venison and pork and all everything that they could find. And they had a feast. I would have liked to have been, that's a picnic I wanted to go to. Can you imagine the king's army of Israel and Aram's army of Samaria of Aram? Can you imagine them singing together? Can you imagine them eating together? Can you imagine them telling stories about their wives to each other? Can you imagine the laughter and the joy and the fellowship? It's all of that goodness that comes from being together with food and happiness and safety. Oh, I would have liked to have been invited to that dinner. And then the text ends by saying this: never again did the army of Aram ever invade Israel. That's what happens when God's invitation to peacemaking is put into action by the imagination of God's people. I tell you, we don't have to be afraid. That's what the servant was. See this fear of people? Because they don't look like us or talk like us or eat like us, or maybe even worship like us. When God gets a hold of us to be peacemakers, and we use our imagination, something new happens in the world. It's a foretaste of what John saw in the book of Revelation. The kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of His Christ, and He will reign forever and ever. In the Bible, when it talks about the future, it always talks about the future as if it's invading and penetrating and coming into the present. And so, blessed are the peacemakers. They shall have a feast. And they will be called names like children of God. And that's what you are. Amen. The word having been proclaimed, we join our hearts and lives and voices in hymn number 80.
Wow, what a great closing hymn. What a great closing hymn. May you go out with joy. May your life be a hand-clapping celebration of God's great goodness, which can never be defeated. So may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the power and strength of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen.